We read from Holy Scripture this morning in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. We consider verse 18 this morning. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, both the passage that we read and the passage that follows, chapter 9, makes very clear the circumstances when this word of the Lord is given. It is not given at Mount Sinai, as one might suppose, nor is it given when Israel is already in the land of Canaan, but it is given when they are on the other side of Jordan and about to enter into the land of Canaan. It is given 40 years after they had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. almost 40 years since they had met with God at Mount Sinai. For the past 40 years, they had wandered through the wilderness, and God recounts that history. And now God speaks to them as if they are already in that land. And God gives them a warning, a very sharp warning, an appointed warning, and a necessary warning exactly because of the land that he is about to give them. A land flowing with milk and honey, wherein they will become very, very prosperous and very, very wealthy. Similar circumstances, beloved, we live in today. We live in a time of great prosperity. Oh yes, just like the nation of Israel, there are always the poor, but even the poor are richly dealt with. All of us may say the same thing, as God predicts will soon be the case with the nation of Israel. Goodly houses, much crops and fields, much brass and iron, gold and silver. And it is exactly at that time that the Lord warns, remember. Remember and forget not the Lord thy God. Especially remember the Lord in times of prosperity and wealth. That's what we're going to look at this morning, this word of God and its exhortation to remember the Lord in prosperity. Remembering the Lord in prosperity. We consider in the first place that exhortation, that commandment. Secondly, the manner in which we are to remember the Lord in prosperity, the specific manner, and finally, the motive. The exhortation given in the text, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, implies very clearly that there is a great, great danger that surrounds us and that threatens us in times of prosperity. That danger, which is implicit in the text, is made explicit and very clear in verses 11 and 14, where we read, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, and thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That is the great danger, and it is that danger that is especially threatening in times of prosperity, as the Lord lays out through his servant Moses. This is the prosperity of Israel that the Lord tells them they will have, that the Lord would bring them into a good land with brooks of water and fountains of water and springs and valleys and hills, a land full of wheat and barley and vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, that is a land of many crops and many fields, of orchards and vineyards, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, plenty of bread, a land where they would mine brass and iron to make implements, a land with much gold and silver. In other words, it would be a land that would simply not supply only their needs, but it is a land that would provide them in rich abundance so that they would become wealthy, they would become rich, they would have far more than they needed. It would be a land where they would be able to enjoy these riches, partake of these riches. And the warning of the Lord
is not about that. The warning of the Lord is not about having too much. It's not beware that they'll have too much. Beware that they have too much gold and silver and property and lands and wheat and barley and bread. But the warning is that when you have those things, remember the Lord thy God and forget not. Consider also that this exhortation especially pertains to salvation. That is evident from a number of considerations, that the Lord warns them that when they forget the Lord their God, they are forgetting the Lord who delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, the Lord who provided to them manna from heaven, teaching them that they do not live by bread alone, but by every word from his mouth, and the God who provided them water in the desert. So not only do these words apply to us, there is not a single word in this prophecy, in this text, that does not apply to us. We cannot say we are poor. Even the poorest of us is rich. And many of the rich are very rich. It applies to us. And not only that, but we can see even more clearly that all of this is a picture. That all of this concerns our salvation. It's not simply a warning that applies to matters of providence, matters of material goods, but it concerns our very spiritual well-being. That is evident. For we know from the New Testament that all of those things that the children of Israel experienced back then, both their time in the wilderness and their time in Canaan, was a picture of our salvation. The true bondage that Israel was delivered from was the bondage of sin and death. The crossing of the Red Sea was their baptism into the church and covenant of God. At Mount Sinai, God did not simply give them laws, but laws of the covenant, his testaments. The water from the rock and the manna from heaven was our Lord Jesus Christ, as he himself made very clear. He is the word by which we live and not bread alone. Canaan, as we all know, is a picture of the riches of the kingdom of heaven. So that when we forget the Lord our God, we do not simply forget the God who gives us things, but the God who gives us the greatest riches of all, which is himself. That was the case for the nation of Israel. The true riches that they would have is that they would dwell in the land with God. God would dwell with them from the Ark of the Covenant, in the temple, in Jerusalem, and from there live with them all, no matter where their inheritance was located. And having God, they had everything, though they might be denied even a scrap of bread. They had God as their God, the greatest wealth, and that too applies to us. What is the true and real riches God gives to you? It is the water from the rock. It is the manna from heaven. It is his word. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. In him, we live with God. God is not simply with us as the God of providence, the God in whom we live and move and have our being. That all by itself is amazing. That the God we are called to remember is the God who truly gives us everything in this life, including the life itself. So that every beat of our heart, every breath in our lungs, every word in our mouth, every thought in our mind, every piece of bread that we eat and can digest, our jobs, our businesses, our fields, our homes, our clothing, our cars, our bank accounts, our retirement funds are all given to us by God, so that truly in Him we live and move and have our being. That all by itself is amazing to remember when we remember the Lord our God. But He gives us Himself in His grace. That's brought out in the text in a very wonderful way. When the Lord reminds us that among the things to remember about God is that He is the one who giveth thee the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant. That points out something special about the children of Israel. Truly, it can be said, what is said about wealth itself with regard to every man, every single human being on this planet, must acknowledge and should acknowledge, and their great sin is that they do not acknowledge that God is the giver of wealth and God is the giver of the power to get wealth. That is true with regard to every single human being. We are not the only individuals who live and move and have our being by God alone. Do you think that the breath in the unrepentant, unbelieving, reprobate wicked is something that comes from Himself? No, He too was created from the dust of the ground. He too breathed the air that God gives. The blood coursing through His beating heart is given every second. Every beat is given Him by God. The incredible wealth of all this world comes from God. That is true not only of us. God gives good gifts to all men. That is the great tragedy of this day. The great wonder is that there are people who on this day will indeed recognize with worship and thanksgiving that everything they have is given by God and thus worship Him, while others will stuff themselves full, may even utter many words of thanksgiving and praise to a God of some sort, may even invoke the name of God, but it is far from their heart that everything they have is from God, and they owe Him praise and thanksgiving, and that in a special way. But what is amazing about this text is the Lord sets forth why especially and inexcusably He should never, ever be forgotten among His people. The Lord sets forth here what a serious business it is to forget His name. You can find that even in the passage itself. You will discover, if you know history and if you look at the Scriptures carefully, a couple of things. Number one, what the Lord brings out here through His prophet Moses is not an abstract, remote possibility. If you know anything about the history of the nation of Israel, what the Lord said not to do and what He warned against and warned greatly against is exactly what happened. Time and time and time again, the Lord made His people wealthy in the land of Canaan, rich beyond imagination. And exactly at that time, Israel would forget God, serve idols, and God would do what He always does when that happens. He takes away the idols. He takes away the very wealth that He has given. God has done that time and time again. Did that to Israel. He does it today. Place your trust in the wealth, which is what forgetting God is all about. If you ask yourself, what is forgetting God all about? Remember, it is primarily this. It is to take the very gifts that God has given, the very wealth, the very riches that He has given, and to serve it and not Himself. That is to take the very wealth God gives and use it in my own service, to make myself happy, to serve myself, to accomplish my will, to do what I want to do. That's forgetting God and remembering Him not. And to do that is idolatry. Because at the same time we're doing that, we are forgetting God. So it's not only a real dangerous threat in times of prosperity, but it is an extremely, extremely dangerous one. For God has a way not only of taking away the very things that make us idols, but even of removing the revelation of Himself so that we are blind and cannot see and will not hear. God did that time and time again, and He reminds Israel of that even in the text. Remember, in your remembering, that I am the God of the covenant. That is what explains it all. The Lord reminds Israel both of the seriousness of the sin and the reason why God reacts the way He does when He brings up His covenant. God, when He does that, reminds us, number one, of why the gifts He gives us are so different from the gifts He gives anyone else. God indeed gives gifts to everyone else, but only the gifts He gives to us does He give in His grace. God gives with an attitude of favor. When God gives gifts to the ungodly, God gives them in His hatred and in His anger and in His wrath. Those things serve as slippery hills which cast them down into destruction, according to Psalm 73. They serve to make all men without excuse. God need only ask in the day of judgment, "Did you have life?" "Yes." "Did you give me thanks for that life?" "No." But with us, God's gifts are part of His covenant blessings, and we need to be reminded of that, and that's why when we look at the riches and the wealth, we may not forget it doesn't simply consist of the things in our closets and garages and refrigerators and freezers, but what's in our heart, that we have God Himself and a favorable God in our hearts. And that is why, too, God will chasten us, if not, if otherwise, that all serves to our destruction and to our judgment and God's righteous judgments against us. So we need to hear this exhortation, beloved. We are wealthy, and we claim to be wealthy. And it really doesn't matter if you're poor in earthly goods, you are rich in spiritual goods. But not only are we rich in spiritual goods, we are indeed rich in physical goods. And this timely word of God comes, says, especially then, when you are prosperous, remember the Lord thy God. Now, what does God mean by that? Very simply. Number one, remember Him exactly in times of prosperity. There's something wrong, in other words, when we only remember God when we are in distress, when the only time we remember God is when we lose something, or when we're poor, or when we're sick, which is often the case. We can go a long time without actually being thankful to God, and then God, as He does when He chastens us, makes us sick. He takes away our job. He smashes our car to pieces. He burns down our house. And then we cry out to God, don't we? Well, there's something wrong when that's the only time we cry out to God. God here is reminding us, remember me especially in times of prosperity and not only in times of poverty. Number two, remember indeed the great danger. It is exactly, beloved, when our time and our energy and everything is focused around material goods, that we forget the danger. That we forget there's any trouble that threatens. That's always the way it is. People don't recognize today in the political sphere and other spheres what they have, and so they don't even recognize the dangers to their liberties and their wealth. That's what's going on right now in our own land. Become blind to it. The glittering reflections of all the gold and the silver blind us. And they soothe us and set us to sleep to the very danger itself. How could that possibly be that I would use my wealth to forget God? Why? That's not possible. I'm not doing that. God couldn't possibly be sending this circumstance in nature or this circumstance in the political sphere. God couldn't be doing any of these things that are going on around us today, like COVID and elections and church controversies, because I'm worshiping my gifts. Not possible. Oh, that's exactly when it's not only possible, but likely. And God is saying, remember that. Remember this very word of God. That's how you remember me. And it's worth reminding us, beloved, of what's ahead. The word of God has looked ahead for us too. And it imagines a day of incredible prosperity that far exceeds what we have now. The day of the Antichrist, who will come to power because he promises great wealth and prosperity to the whole world. And the whole world gives him their freedoms, gives him their allegiance, gives him their worship, all so that they might have much. And much they shall have. And exactly at that point, even the church and the great apostasy will forget God. And then be put to a test like there has never been in the history of mankind. And a worldwide test, a very simple test. Will you have wealth or will you die? Will you bow the knee to me, the man who brings you all this wealth, who brings you all this peace, who brings you all this prosperity, who is your earthly Savior? If you do, you may participate and join and have all you want. Now, he will not make good on his promises. The collapse of his kingdom and the destruction of his kingdom is because there's one thing the Antichrist can't deal with, and that's sin and the sinful heart. And God will use that to bring Jesus Christ and the end of the world. But don't forget, the alternative is this. If you don't bow the knee to me, if you continue to worship your God, you may not buy and you may not sell. Oh, I know my way around that one. I'm going to accumulate more riches. I'm going to bury gold in a field, and I'm going to park four-wheel drives over here, buy a cabin up in the woods, and I'm going to stash it full of food. Oh, yes, buy guns and ammo. Yes, I prepare for that. Foolishness. Foolishness. The Bible makes very clear, you serve the Antichrist, that is, you forget God, or you will not eat. And it is only because God shortens the time and sends Christ that the church continues even to witness and remain. Are you prepared for that? What if the devil put that to you right now? Says you may not go to church and worship your God. You may not attend worship services, or we'll stop you from going to the store, and we'll prevent you from trading your gold and silver and buying gas for your big four-wheel drive. What are you going to do? You're going to be tempted to forget the Lord your God. How do I know that? Because we're not even put to that severe a test, and we still fail. We still worship the creature instead of the Creator and are mad in the pursuit of things. And God says, don't do that. Remember me.
Remember me especially when you are wealthy, especially when things are at ease. Remember me by thinking of me in love and thanksgiving. That is worship. We imagine sometime that those days are going to involve people beating down our doors and looking for Bibles and stuff. It's a lot simpler than that, beloved. A lot simpler than that. It's so easy to prevent us from worshiping God and forgetting Him. So the warning is real, needs to come to us. We need to listen to the exhortation, but it is especially one particular way that we are to remember God. And this is key. This is important. This is what ties all the material into the spiritual, and that is this. The Lord says not simply, remember me, remember the Lord thy God, remember the Lord thy God who even gives thee wealth. But remember the Lord thy God who is the giver of the power to get wealth. That is important. Whenever the Holy Spirit does something unusual, and this is unusual, take notice. Now, what you would expect is this, the exhortation, when you are prosperous and when you are wealthy, remember the Lord thy God. That would be enough. Or even this, when you are prosperous and wealthy, remember that the Lord gave you all that wealth. But the Lord here goes a step further because he puts his finger on the heart of the issue. When you are wealthy, remember that the Lord thy God is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. That's the problem. That's always the beginning of the problem anyway. You see, there is wealth and there is the giving of wealth, and we all recognize God gives us the wealth, but what we forget is God gives us the power even to get wealth. Now, what's the power to get wealth? It's very simple. The power to get wealth is all the external means that God uses for us to get wealth in a very earthly sense. It's very plain. The power to get wealth refers to all the natural and physical powers that enable you to get wealth. We can begin with your life itself. To get wealth, God must give you the power of life. He gives that to you. But not only does God give you the power of life, but God gives you the power of a good mind. Let's say even a business mind or a good farming mind. God gives you good motivation, the power of motivation, the power to get up in the morning and go to your job or run your business. He gives you a good education, the power of a good education. God gives the power of the right political and economic atmosphere to become wealthy. God gives the power of good business sense, knowing when to buy and when to sell, how to save and when to save and when to spend. God gives the power to work the fields. God gives the power of the field itself to produce good crops. God gives the power of the rain and the sunshine. God gives the power of your own muscles and your own brain. And the point is, God gives all the power to do that. And that is what we forget first. The great sin of Israel was not simply that they forgot where their goods came from. We do that. But most often, that's not what we forget first and what we forget mainly. No doubt, even in Israel, while they were living in idolatry, they were saying, thanks to God for giving me this and giving me that. But what they forgot long ago was that even the power to get it comes from God. There is no power in you naturally, beloved. We tend to forget that. You do not live on your own accord. You are not here by your own power. Your muscles cannot even twitch, your eyelids blink, your lungs take in without the gift of the power of God. And not only that, but God gives us that power to get wealth. He does. He tells us to remember that. I give you that power to get wealth. It's intended for that purpose. That's a good thing. That's part of God's blessings. But we forget that. The great sin of Israel was, look at what my might and my good sense and my wisdom and my understanding and my efforts have produced. And God says, no. Oh, yes, you worked. Oh, yes, you were very busy. You plowed and you reaped. You made business transactions. You bought and you sold. Oh, no problem there. Power is needed to gain wealth. But what you forgot is even that came from me. And God says, especially when prosperous, remember that. And let's not forget, beloved, that this is connected to salvation also. When God talks about the giver of wealth, I told you, he wasn't simply speaking of earthly things, but matters pertaining to the land of Canaan, that is, matters of salvation. Matters pertaining to the covenant itself. The covenant wasn't about earthly things, it's about spiritual things. And there too, beloved, we are active and busy, aren't we? We go to church. We bow our heads in prayer. We send our kids to good Christian schools. Busy all the time, teaching and instructing. Those belong to the riches that God gives us and belong to his presence with us. And we may even recognize them as we do the batters of this earthly life. Oh yes, they came from God. God gave them. But what we forget is God gives us even the power to receive them. Faith, for example, is amazingly powerful. It has the power to receive and the power to produce fruit. And oh yes, we might thank God for the gift of faith, but do we thank God for the power of faith? Or do we say, my might and my power has done this or that? You see how easy it is to forget God, and especially it always begins with forgetting where the power even comes from. And God says, no, remember that. Remember that when you are prosperous. When you are prosperous with all the matters of salvation and the truth and matters pertaining to the covenant, remember me and remember who I am. And don't forget, that's essentially always the difference between the one true God and an idol. An idol God never has any power. That's why people worship him, because that idol doesn't have the power to punish you if you do anything wrong. And you could pretty much do whatever you want before an idol. That's why we like idols. But Jehovah God is the God who does something. That is the God who is the source of all power, and that is the God we serve. And so when we forget him, we're no longer serving God. So the power too is given of God. And now you understand what it really means to be saved by grace or receive anything by grace. It's one thing to acknowledge that God gave me something, a gift. But what truly is a gift when it comes to God? And the answer is you recognize that he even gives you the power to receive that gift and the power to use that gift. We recognize not only that God gives us blessings in salvation, but he gives us the power to receive them. That's what grace really, truly is. And often what goes on in the physical world reflects what's going on in the spiritual world with regard to us. Now, what's the motive here? The motive is, and this is the amazing inclusion of that statement, which might have nervous a little bit, because it says, for he that giveth thee power to get wealth is also he that may establish his covenant. Now, even notice this, that he is the power to give thee wealth, to get thee wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Ooh, there is something a bit unnerving when we read that, but you have to understand what God through Moses is actually saying. He's talking about the covenant. He says all these things relate to the covenant. And one thing I already reminded you of, and it's worth repeating. Don't forget that the only explanation for number one, why you even have wealth, and number two, why that wealth is a blessing and not a curse, comes down to one thing. God swore an oath to be your God and that you would be his people. And God has repeated that oath over and over again, the oath of his covenant, the oath, in other words, that he will establish and does establish a relationship of friendship with us. That explains why you have what you have and why it may and can be and is a blessing and not a curse. That alone, that's the first thing that's meant. Do not forget that. That's the difference between blessing and cursing, grace and judgment. Number two, what the Lord is telling us to remember is God also gives you all that wealth in the interests of his covenant. God does not give you wealth for your own interests as such. Now, there's a part of that. Certainly, you are a member of his covenant, and so God gives you that because he is a gracious and not only that, but beneficent God. God is not stingy. And the strange thing is, our sin, our depravity is such is that the more generous God is, the more stingy we get. The more God shows us his love, the less we tend to show him our love. But never forget, whatever God gives you, he gives to you in the interest of his covenant. He doesn't give them in the interest of your old man. That's the one we tend to use them all for. He gives them in the interest of your new man. He gives them so that you might rear a truly godly covenant family, which you can't do when you're running around being persecuted and chased and hounded. It becomes difficult to build good Christian schools. That's why he gives this to you. He doesn't give it to you primarily for vacations and to amass millions and buy fancy cars and wonderful homes. That's not the main reason it's given. They can be used for that, but God gives them in the interest of his kingdom for the benefit of others. To share with others, to give with others so that no one lacks, to do what we got to do in missions and in preaching. And we forget that. God says, no, remember, it's because of my covenant. Remember that with regard to all that you have. And that's why I said this all pertains to God in Jesus Christ. If you ask, really, how it is we remember God, it's always the same way. We show and we do remember God by keeping his commandments. If you doubt me on that, simply read the passage again. How we show we forget God is always by adultery, fornication, lying, slander, stealing, murdering in our hearts, forgetting about God in worship, allowing his name to be blasphemed by false doctrine, forgetting about the Sabbath day. That's always the way it has been and always will be. And we remember God by following him, by serving him, by obeying him, by trusting in him. And at the bottom of it all is, remember, that's all part of the covenant. Why does God give you himself ultimately, beloved? Why did God rescue you from destruction and despair and blackness and from having nothing? Why did God join himself to you in Jesus Christ, feed you with the manna from heaven and the water from the rock? Why did he send him to die for your sins so that you might indulge yourself, so that you might do as you please, so that you might now take all his gifts and say, ooh, I could do whatever I want. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter how I live. God says, no, that's forgetting me. An especially egregious sin, because this all pertains to my covenant. So remember him especially for what he's done in the interest of his covenant. Notice the context, beloved. When he says you're sitting in that land chowing on your food and sitting on a pile of money in the land of Canaan, you all need to remember something. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You need to remember who it is that fed thee in this land where there was no food, who gave you clothing in this land where there was no clothing, who protected you from the fiery serpents and the scorpions, who led you for a life of 40 years through the wilderness of sin. I am the Lord thy God, and therefore thou shalt have no other gods before me. So, beloved, on this Thanksgiving Day, as you give thanks, especially thanksgiving for much, much prosperity, remember. And remember the Lord, and not simply remember the Lord, that He's given you all the things, but remember He has given you even the power to get wealth. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and Father in heaven, forgive our foolishness, our forgetting, and encourage and move us to remember. To remember Thee in our heart, to remember Thee in our life, to remember Thee with regard to matters of this earthly, physical life and those gifts, as well as the greater gift of salvation. That Thou art a God who gives us the power to do anything. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.